This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to this July 17th edition of Invest Talk, Above Average Investing for the Average Investor. And you know, I try to answer your questions live during this hour, 4 to 5 Pacific Time, Monday to Friday. Justin and I really love to talk to people personally if we can. That's one of our first choice. But we also answer any question. You can call our 24-hour listener line, 888-99-CHART, and leave your question, and we'll answer it on the next program. We'll do our best to answer on our next program. Should you be dialing down the risk right now? Dialing the risk down in your portfolio. I haven't seen anybody predicting really a recession is anytime soon. I haven't seen anybody saying that it would. But on the other side, the flip side, there are signs that a downturn could be near, especially in the market. That's going to be one of our talking points today. Being money, let's look ahead. Some of the topics we'll be discussing during this week. Of course, you set the topic of the moment, but when you call and ask your questions. But today, we're going to talk some about risk. Is now the time to reduce risk in your portfolio? Is it now? We always talk about risk, but this is more pointed. Is it right now that you should reduce risk? Should you, or should you be fully in the market? Tuesday, our main talking point is going to be about investing for women. It's probably even more important for women than men. They need to harness the power of money. They really do. There's no investing glass ceiling for women. That's going to be the topic. It's one of the missions here on Invest Talk, to help you decipher the data, help everybody decipher the data, how to make better investing choices. Women, generally speaking, I hate to say this, guys, but women, generally speaking, make better investors. They generally do. Wednesday, we're going to focus on closed-end funds. We don't talk about them very much. Well, they're not as popular or trendy as ETFs, exchange-traded funds. Closed-end funds were built specifically to maximize income. Did you know that? Are they doing a good job at it? That's what we're going to do. Five rules for picking high-yield closed-end funds. That's our Wednesday topic. Thursday, InvestTalk, main talking point is going to be about gold volatility, the volatility of gold. It's a non-event for gold to go up or down 20% in a 12-month period. It just happens. There are various ways to invest in gold. Where's the smart money going? What are they doing right now? And finally, on Friday, we don't know where the market's headed, but future market returns may be muted. That makes tax-efficient investing more important. So is it time for a mid-year tax audit for your portfolio? That's this Friday. So what money matter do you want to talk about today? Don't save it up. We're ready for any money call questions at 888-99-CHART. So let's go to the phone and take this question from Jay in Fremont. Hi, Jay.
Hi, Steve.
How you doing?
Hi, Steve. Steve, I have a question on MSM. It's fallen down recently. Is it a good buy? Thank you.
Okay, let's take a look at it. MS is in Sam, MSC Industrial. It is, MSM is a symbol, is traded in the New York Stock Exchange, headquarters in New York, distributes maintenance, repair, and operations supplies via 12 distribution centers and 85 branch offices. It's a $4 billion company, distributes maintenance, repair, and operations supplies. That's what it does. It's made money every year, for year, for year, year after year after year after year. Make a little bit, it does not make, it's not like growing constantly its earnings, it's not. I mean, 2011, they made $3.47, then $4.14 a year after that, and then down in the high threes, and then $3.96 this year per share, and then $4.40 next year. So it's not a growth company. It's a big, stable company. Not big. I would say mid-cap, stable company. 2.4% yield, $4 billion market cap. So it's not, you want to buy this when it's on sale. That's when you really want to buy it. So is it on sale right now? And I will say that it's at a very strong support level. It's not cheap. and it's not expensive. But it's at strong support level. It fell 3 or 4 days ago very hard from 87 down to 72. I'm suspecting that might have been earnings. Jay, do you know why it fell? Are you still there?
Yeah, I see.
Do you know why it fell about 3 or 4 days ago?
I think because they gave a forecast which was not that good, that's why.
Okay, so that news is built into the stock. So this might be a good buying opportunity here, right where it is, because it has strong support in the low 70s, and it's $74.31. So this would be a good buying point. Just know that it's not cheap, but it's not expensive either. And it's very steady on its earnings, very, very steady. Okay?
Well, thank you, Steve.
Thanks, Jay. Appreciate the call. MSM was the stock symbol, everybody. MSC Industrial. Let's go to Malachi. How you doing, Malachi?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Thanks for the call.
I got a strange question for you. Do you happen to know what Bitcoin is?
It's electronic money. It's internet money. That's what it is.
Okay. And is that something that can be invested in, or
yes.
Yes,
you can invest in it. It's fairly new. When I say that, it's been around for a number of years, but it's fairly new as far as a currency. It's a currency. It's a real currency. And it's very volatile pricing. Like a currency, it can go up and down in value in comparison to dollars, right? If dollar is, how much bitcoins can you buy with how many dollars? And that's how all currency is traded, okay? So you can invest in it. I've never looked into it to try to do it, to be honest. But I know you can because I know people do. So good luck if you try it. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Jackson in Sunnyvale. How you doing, Jackson?
Hey, pretty good. Hey, thanks for taking my call. Love your show. You guys are the best out there, I think.
Thank you.
Question for you. I think you brought up a great point about this market being frothy and maybe it's time to take some chips off the table. But two things. One, it seems like the Fed and the government, whoever you want to consider the government, mm-hmm. has no intention of stopping this.
No.
And my second question is, but let's say you're right. It eventually has to happen. We go through cycles mm-hmm. in the stock market and in business cycles and real estate. I mean, it has to happen at some point.
Yes,
so I guess my main question is, what's your thoughts on stops for your entire portfolio? I'm more of a technical guy. I keep about half of my portfolio that I trade actively, and half is kind of static. But I just wanted to get your thoughts on stops for the entire portfolio so that you don't get this. Well, I mean, if there's a gap, you can't do anything.
Right.
But at least you can, if you get gapped out and it keeps going like it did in 2008, worst case scenario, at least you're out.
Yeah.
And then you can analyze and decide when to get back in. Because I think you might agree that the hardest part is not getting in, it's getting out.
Yeah, getting out is a hard part. And the timing to get back in once you're out, Jackson, it's very difficult because you remember you're in the middle of a downturn, right? And it's going down and down. And every so often it fakes you out like it's starting to back up. You say, well, do I get in now? And no, it turns back down because it's not a straight line. It never is. So first, let's answer your question. Frankly, I think everybody should have some core stocks. A handful of core stocks they just hold on to and ignore. And those got to be big blue chip safe stocks that you bought in the last recession, let's say. Okay?
Sure.
But I like stops as long as people understand that they have to also have some mechanical method to get back in. In other words, you have a stop and say the stop was 10% below your current price, or it breaks a 200-day moving average going down, I get out. Whatever it is, that's great. Use it. That's fine. But then you're going to have some kind of definitive rule to get back in and make sure you do it. And don't let emotion tell you to do it because emotions won't work. So I don't have a problem with stopping the whole portfolio if you're a nervous investor. I don't. But make sure that the other side is the problem, Jackson. Getting back in. How do I get back in? When do I get back in? What signals do I look for to get back in? And the best signal is when everybody is panicking, that's the time I get back in. But you know how hard that is to do? Very difficult.
Yeah, no, I do. And I think you're right. I think you have to have, I think you echoed it perfectly. You have to have a system in advance. You don't want to be figuring out your system during the process and stick with it.
Yeah, and stick with it. And you're exactly right. Have it in advance so you remove the emotion out of the buy and sell decision. Remove it. Okay?
Thank you.
Thanks, Jackson. Appreciate it. Good call. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. We're glad you're with us today for this Invest Talk. How about a dose of wisdom from The Intelligent Investor by Benjamin Graham? To invest successfully over a lifetime does not require a stratospheric IQ, unusual business insights, or inside information. What's needed is a sound intellectual framework for making decisions and the ability to keep emotions from corroding that framework. Isn't that apropos, Jackson? The guy just called. This is what it is. Let's talk about it. 888-99-CHART and get through right now. Should you be dialing down the risk right now? Should you do that? And of course, that's our main talking point today. But first, let's take a look at the market. What happened with the market today? It's kind of interesting. It was up for most of the day, but the Dow ended up down 6 points. The NASDAQ up 2, and S&P up, down, nothing. Flat. It was up 0.15% of a point. Okay? It was like a tiny fraction of a point. And that's what the market did today. Nothing driving it. We're in earnings seasons. Earnings is what's going to drive it. And I think that's what we have to really look for to see what this earnings is going to be. And of course, earnings season comes around every quarter. But anyways. We're going to have to go to Wendy. Wendy, Chino Hills. How you doing, Wendy?
I'm doing good. How are you, Steve?
Thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's lovely to hear your voice, actually.
Thank you.
I'm starting way back from 2008 and listening all the way back to 2016 just to learn the fundamentals from your show,
Great. Thank you.
Wonderful. I have a question regarding when the analysts, they are talking about like the stocks, certain stocks, they give you a price.
Mm-hmm.
What is that price for?
That's always a price target where they think the stock is going to go. And usually it's within 1 year. Their price target generally within the year, our price target for this stock is $82. And it's usually talking within a year.
Now, means the stock will go to that price.
That's what they think. Now, most analysts are wrong, as you've heard me say many times, right? But they're using sound reasoning to get there, but they're not right that often. They're really not.
Okay, so it doesn't really matter what they are saying.
No, I like you to make you can look at it, but I like you to make your own assessment. And Wendy, you will, because as you know, you learn more and more and more, and you say, I don't know, that seems a little higher, that seems a little low. But it's a good place to start.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Wendy. Appreciate it. This is Invest Talk, everybody. I'm Steve Peasley. 888-99-CHART is our number. 888-992-4278. So are stocks adequately compensating you for the risk of financial loss? The risk that you're investing in the stocks, are you getting back what you should be getting from this for the risk that you're taking? And now remember, no one's really predicting a recession, but few people are saying that we're growing very strong, right? We have not grown that strong. And it is a bit worrying that the yield curve, and that's the difference between a 2-year and a 10-year treasury, okay, the yield, the spread between those two things. The spread in 2009 was 3.5%. Now it's 1.3%. Whenever the yield curve inverts, meaning that there is no spread and the short term yields more than the long term, that every time that's happened, there's been a recession. We don't have it now. We don't have a recession, but it is squeezing down. That's a problem. That's a worry. That's a worry that, you know, we need to think about. So the flattening, it's called flattening at this point, is a concern. So that, and the fact that we have absolutely no inflation, what rationale does the Federal Reserve have in tightening interest rates? There's no reason for that. So here we have a tightening of interest rates, which means our tightening of money supply, squeezing, you know, withdrawing money supply out of the system. Yes, it's still fairly loose, but the direction is tightening, and the Federal Reserve said they're going to tighten faster and more. You have a yield curve that is flattening and the Federal Reserve taking money out of the system, or at least trying to squeeze some of it out of the system. No inflation. Not a huge, strong economy, and stock prices at record highs or near record highs. So how much risk is in the system, and are you going to get the enough return on those stocks over the next few years, or will we see a contraction of return? That's really what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the market crashing or whatever. Of course it could, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a rational look at the valuation of the overall market and the economy and deciding, well, is this a good place to risk my money and how much of it should I risk? Will I get a good enough return to take for the amount of risk I'm taking? And this is a very difficult judgment call. For anybody and everybody. Very difficult. So I think that's something you should consider. I think this is one of the reasons why, you know, we've been talking about don't worry about taking some money off the table or selling some stocks and don't worry about jumping back in right away. You notice that we're not talking about getting out of the market. Oh, just get out. Oh, don't just get out. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying that it's not the time to be overly aggressive. It's not, even though the market's doing well. And why? Because if you sit back and look at what's happening, you're seeing, you know, things out there that are telling you or should be telling you that the upside risk has gone up. The risk on the upside's gone up. Let's go to Art in Menlo Park. How you doing, Art?
Good, Steve. How are you today?
I am good. I appreciate your call.
Oh, thanks. I was just wondering if you still think, or I don't know if it was you, but I think it might have been Justin, about Gilead?
Yes.
ILD? Mm-hmm. It's still a value trap? Because I was thinking about picking some up, because I got some earlier at about 66 and a half, I think, somewhere.
Uh-huh. Well, it is very difficult for me to decide to buy this thing. I got quite a bit of debt. Earnings are going down 28% this year, another 10% next year. Sales are accelerating going down. Okay, they went down the most recent quarter 17%, before that 14%, before that 10%. And so it looks like the stock is really cheap, and the stock has popped up from its lows, from like, what, $64, now up to $71. It would not be for me, Art, because of the direction of sales and earnings and the debt. Even though it looks really cheap on a P.E. ratio, it does. But I just think it's pretty risky.
Okay.
All right. Appreciate the
Thanks.
Call.
Steve.
Thank you for the call. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. It is earnings seasons, everybody. And what we should be watching for? What should we be watching for? The dollar was very strong, has been pretty darn strong, right? I mean, it's been strong for a few years, and it gave up some of that strength at the beginning of this year. But it's still fairly strong overall. And will that hurt overseas earnings? So those big international stocks, are they going to get hurt? At the same time, some of the economies around the world are starting to recover. I think you need to watch energy. Energy had a recovery from its low. I think you got to watch the earnings in that field and watch the earnings in the tech area. I think that's very important. Remember, everything is about Trump and whether he's going to get anything passed. Market's built in expectations there. It has. We're at the halfway mark. Plenty of time to get your questions into the program. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, and you can reach me right now at 888-99-CHART.
Our podcast continues next on Invest Talk. One of the KPP financial solutions that help solve today's retirement puzzles is waiting for you. How do you get the income you need in retirement without the kind of risk that you just don't feel comfortable with? KPP Financial has a whole catalog of investment programs suited for today's investment climate and designed to suit your real-life situation today. Would you like to know more about the Balanced Income Program, for example? You can call 888-99-CHART and follow the prompts or ask Steve directly about it. Just click on Contact Steve on investtalk.com and your note will go directly to him and he'll answer your question. The Balanced Income Program is one solution from KPP Financial. And now let's get back to the podcast. Continues, a service of KPP Financial, unencumbered by large corporate affiliations or motivated by commissions, investing right along with their clients. KPP Financial, independent thinking, shared success. Our InvestTalk listener line is open 24 hours a day, 888-99-CHART.
Hi guys, love the show, learn lots from you every single day. Hey, I've been following a stock here. It's a good dividend. The stock seems to be growing somewhat in price, too. CCI looks good with technology and so forth, and a lot with cell phone. And just been looking good, and I'm curious to get you guys' thoughts and opinions on it. What do you think? Would this be a good one to put some money in for 3-5 years or more? Thanks for help. Look forward to hearing from you.
Thanks for the show. The answer is yes, but not yet. This is Crown Castle International, CCI, headquarters out of Houston. It's a REIT, Real Estate Investment Trust, that owns wireless towers in the U.S., Australia, Puerto Rico for wireless service providers. It pays a 3.9% dividend. The reason why I say not yet, it peaked in June, and ever since then, it's been making lower highs and lower lows. And today, it fell hard, down 4.2%, down to $96. And the reason is that it had nothing to do with the company. It's a big company, $35 billion. It's not the company. It's because it's so pricey. It has a P/E ratio of 87 with a growth rate of about 9%. Earnings are growing up about 20 to 30%, but the growth rate of sales, 9%. So it's very expensive. It's a very expensive REIT for what you're getting. Remember, that's part of our talking point. Is it worth it? Are you going to get, going forward, the reward like it did in the past? And the answer on this one is probably not. But if it ever gets down to maybe 80, I might pick it up. Even though even then it'll still be expensive. Why? Because it's so steady. It makes money every year. It's growing its money every year. And, you know, in the business it's in, a REIT that owns wireless towers, remember what a REIT does. It has to pay 90% of their income in the form of a dividend to you to not have to pay income tax at the corporate level. CCI, everybody, Crown Castle International. Good company. We're here for you. Beginner experience does not matter. You don't have to have, any question is fine. You don't have to be a complex question. Matter of fact, you know, a complex question only serves a very narrow part of the audience. So don't worry about any question you might want to ask that you might think is not smart enough. They all are smart enough. So give me a call. We're live, 4 to 5 Pacific time. 888-99-CHART is our number.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Mason calling from Atlanta, Georgia, and I got a question for you. I'm 23 years old and recently started a Roth IRA, and I got about $1,000 to invest with. I was wondering if I'd be better off buying into ETFs and focusing on the compounding over the next years, or buying into an individual stock that is deeply undervalued? Thanks for your help, and look forward to hearing your answer on the air.
I would focus on ETF, a more broad-based investment, and maybe a value ETF, or even a dividend ETF. If you send me your email, I do have a short list of dividend-paying ETFs that I'll be happy to send you, or send anybody. You send me an email requesting, I'll make sure you get it. But I wouldn't buy an individual stock $1,000, because you need diversification. $1,000, you can't get diversification. You need an ETF or a mutual fund, you get instant diversification. And I would suggest an ETF on this. Okay? Appreciate the call. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. We're going to go to Blake in Seattle. How you doing, Blake?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you very much. That's where I was born, by the way, in Seattle.
Oh, right on. Yeah, it's a great city. Love it here. Hey, yeah. I had a question about Target.
Okay.
You guys picked it up recently. It still looks attractive to me, and I was looking for a buying point around 50. I wanted to know what your thoughts were and if it still had a little room to run or still has some upside.
I think it does. I like Target. We own Target in one of our managed accounts. TGT is a symbol, Target Corporation. Why do I like it? Well, because it's very low priced for a $30 billion company paying 4.6% dividend. Where are you going to get a company right. that pays 4.6%? It's difficult to find those companies. They're out there, but it's difficult. With the range of its PE is 10 to 19, and today's PE is 11. So the PE is on the low end of its range. Return on equity is 24%. There's a lot of positive with Target, and they've been struggling with competition, but their sales are flattening now. They were shrinking a little bit, but now last quarter.
Right.
I kind of like it at this price. I think this is a good, solid price to buy it and own it. I do.
Great. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
Appreciate the call. Thank you very much. TGT, Target, everybody. I think they're going to be one of the winners in the retail sector. Walmart, Target, Costco. The big box stores are the ones I worry about. They're going to have a tough time. They are having a tough time, and I don't think that's going to stop anytime soon. That tough time is going to continue. And you can zero in on one reason, and it's called Amazon. Okay? Amazon. That's why Target, Walmart, and even Costco. They have to figure out a way to compete online. And you note that all three of those are ramping up hard on their own online shopping part of their business. That's going to continue. Okay, no case for recession right now, everybody. There is no case for a recession. That does not mean, by the way, the stock market can't go down. The stock market goes down 100% of the time in a recession. Okay, but if you have no recession, the stock market can go down, but it's not very common. It doesn't have to go down. It doesn't usually go down. But if there's no case for recession, we have plenty of capacity. Industrial capacity is only at 76.6. Normal at this stage after recovery should be around 80. So there's no constraints there. Some people might point to the labor market with an unemployment rate of 4.4%, but labor participation is at the lows that we saw in the 70s. There's slack even there. If this is the case, and there's no inflation, of course, if this is the case, why is the Fed raising rates? Why? Why in the world do they think they have to? There's only one answer, only one. And that is to fight the next recession. And how does the Federal Reserve fight recessions? By lowering interest rates. Well, if the interest rates are so very low, which it is, how can they lower it to spur economy on the next recession? Now, the problem with this thinking, though, is that will raising interest rates cause the next recession? The Federal Reserve is notorious for getting it wrong, raising interest rates, lowering interest rates, getting it wrong. So are they going to be wrong again? Look at some of the other things. Our commodity prices are not overheated, because that would show some inflation. You've got a labor market that's pretty slack, even though the unemployment rate's real low, but as I said, participation is bad. I mean, if you're looking at it from a hard, factual point of view, you would say, I don't want to slow down the economy. Remember, the economy's growing 2%. It's not like a huge overheated economy. It's barely growing. It's not even close to its average of 3%. It has never been close to the average 3% since the recession. What earthly reason why would you try to raise interest rates, squeeze money to make it more difficult to grow the economy? Interesting, isn't it? It's very interesting, I think. Let's go back to our 24-hour anytime listening line and pick up a question from it, as we always do. 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Steve. Love the show. This is Kyle from San Francisco. Just wondering, a lot of times you guys talk about, when to buy. When's a good price to buy a share? When's a good price to buy? What about when to sell? So my example will be NV as in Victor, GS. I bought this. Unfortunately, really new to investing. At $18, it dropped all the way down to $9. Just took a nice bump back up to 11 or 12. What should I do here, for this stock in particular? Should I always just hold long-term to hope it goes back up? All right, thanks. Appreciate the show.
Okay, this is not a long-term hold. Navigator Holdings, NVGS, is a $562 million market cap company, meaning it's very small, very small. They make money, but it's going to be volatile. They're going to make 48 cents this year and 87 cents next year. They made 80 cents last year. So the year before, they made $1.76. Went from $1.76 down to 80, down to 48, now bounced back up 87. This is why it's not a long-term hold. This is not a core holding, a blue-chip stock. Nope. Return on equity is not very good at 5%. P/E ratio is right around 20. $10 stock, going to make 870, so that P/E ratio will come down. The range of the P/E ratio is 6 to 36. But sales are stagnant. Now, I take my money and run right now. I take my money and run. This is not a good enough stock to own. You can trade it, and it looks like the bottom is around $6.50 to $7, and the top is around $11 to $12. It's gone up as high as $14, but you could trade it, but it can't. It's not a long-term hold, in my opinion. Provides international and regional seaborne transportation services with a fleet of 38 handy-sized liquefied gas container carriers. So this will go up when liquefied natural gas prices go up. When they go down, when they go down. NVGS, everybody. One of the most popular topics on InvestTalk is real estate, as you know. Mostly, I'm sure, because so many people have a stake in real estate, your house. But real estate questions can be very specific. Location is everything in real estate. And they can be very specific related to the individual person or their situation. Well, there is another source of answers for you in real estate questions. You can ask Justin directly. He is a licensed realtor and can give you a professional opinion. And you get a note to me. If you do, you give me a note to me. Any questions on InvestTalk, any investing questions, will respond. Just click on Contact Justin if it's real estate, and he'll get back to you on that.
Our InvestTalk mission is to help you make better investing decisions. To do that on your own, thumbs up or thumbs down choices based on good, solid investing principles. But we need your questions to keep us on track. 888-99-CHART or click on Contact Steve or Contact Justin on InvestTalk.com.
Hey, Steve or Justin. I was calling to have a stock quote on AutoZone, A-Z-O.
I've had it on my watch list for a while. It got up pretty high, $800, and it's dropped down quite a bit, down to $500. I think it's oversold. I don't know if it's put in the bottom. It's slowed down quite a bit the last couple of days on its drop, but haven't seen too much volume. But I just wanted to get an opinion from you guys on it. Pretty much just like to hold the stock for at least a couple of years. I think it's, like I said, oversold, but still a good company. I go into an AutoZone. The lines are always pretty good. I'll listen to you guys on podcast. Thank you.
I kind of like AutoZone, too. AutoZone, A-Z-O, Inc., AutoZone, Inc. They have 5,300 retail parts stores in U.S., Mexico, Puerto Rico, Brazil. It's a $14 billion company. It doesn't pay a dividend. Does not. They make... They're going to make $44 a share this year. That's 10% more than last year. And then they're going to make $47.74 next year, another 8% increase. It's a $503 stock. So that means the P.E. is around 12 or so. And the five-year range is 11 to 22, so it's near the bottom. It's not growing its sales fast, but it is growing 1 to 3% sales. So... It has fallen from $780, $790, all the way down to $503 and since the beginning of the year. And I think you're right. I think it looks cheap. I think this looks like a buying opportunity. But it hasn't showed us any strength or uptick in volume or anything. You might want to wait a few more days, maybe a couple of weeks to see if it starts to move up a little bit for you, and then maybe buy it on an upswing, maybe a break up above the 10 or 20 day moving average before you buy it, just to give you some comfort that it looks like it's actually put in the bottom, because there's no support yet. It's just starting the last few days to build support, and that's not long enough for me to feel comfortable. I'd wait, but it is a good price. AZO, AutoZone Inc. 888-992-4278. That's our number. Love to give you a call. You're listening to Invest Talk, everybody. And of course, we want to hear your voice. So we try to get your question in 888-99-CHART. We're going to go talk to George in San Jose. How you doing, George?
Hi, Steve. How are you doing?
I'm good. I thank you for the call. You want to talk about the the market?
I want to talk about the SPY. Mm-hmm. I'm invested in the SPY, okay. And I was wondering if that's enough diversification.
Yes, the SPY represents it's an ETF representing the S&P 500, so it's representing about 80% of the market. So yeah, it's very, very diverse. And it is a very solid investment for the long haul. It works really good. It does. So, now, you realize
okay,
you're...
I have about 30% more of my funds ready to invest. Should I put more into that or is
not,
something else?
You always... This is a good lesson for everybody, George, but thank you for asking. You always... You know, SPY just made a new high. Okay, just yesterday. Whenever something makes new highs and has been making new highs for a while, which it has, it is time to say, well, I think I'll hold on to my cash. You want to buy, put the rest of that money when the market goes down at least 10%. And George, that may not happen for months, but there's no rush. There's no rush.
I've been waiting months.
Yeah, I would not be over anxious about this. I've been doing this way too many years. Everybody gets excited. Everybody finally gives up and throws all their money in the market. When that happens, there's no more money to throw at the market. And I can't tell you when that happens. No one has a bell saying, okay, all the money's in. Because once all the money's in, it can't go any higher. It can't. Because it needs money. It needs more and more and more money to be pushed into the market. So I would be calm and just wait if I had 30% of cash.
That's great.
Okay?
Thank you.
Thanks, George. Yeah. Now the question is, you really should write down, well, when will I put the money to work? at what price? Because then, if you just hold on to it, you don't know when you're going to do it, and therefore there's no decision, and you may not do it because you don't know how to do it. What price? What, you know, you're going to be driven by your emotion. Excuse me. Now, so be very, very careful if you get it, when to know to get in. Make rules for yourself and then follow the rules. Yeah, the rules could be wrong. But if you don't make those rules, you'll be subject to your emotions. Oh, I don't want to get in now. It's going down. Market's going down. Well, how do you know how far it's going to go down? Just like how do you know how far it's going to go up? No one really knows. No one knows. So if you make some rules, like on a 10% correction, I'm going to invest. There's a rule. So in the 10% correction of the market, put the money to work. But it could go down 20%. But make it, if you're worried about that, you think it's going to happen, maybe at 10% put half the money to work, and at 20% put the rest. But what if it never goes to 20%? Well, that means you didn't put your money back to work. You see, it's a tug of war of emotions of what to do. That's the hard part. Now, are you ready for life out of the workforce? In other words, retirement. Are you ready for that? Most people are not. Talking about any financial show, and of course, the first thing they're going to say, well, how much money do you have? And how much money does that money make? How much money can you earn on your money? That's very important. How much? And can you live on that plus Social Security or whatever else you're going to get? Another question. If you had a 2007-2008 market crash again, what would that do to your portfolio? Is it structured to withstand that kind of fall? Do you need to change that structure? Okay, and one other thing, whether or not you're ready for be out of the workforce, what are you going to do? What's going to be your purpose? Hope you have some kind of purpose. Time's up for the hour, everybody. Looking at my portfolio checkup schedule, I'll be in San Jose tomorrow, July 18th. Or, I can meet with you via Skype or telephone anytime, most of the time. To reserve your hour for an individual portfolio review, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president, owner of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm, and for Justin Klein, everybody, the whole KPP family, thank you for listening to me today. Let's do it again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.